Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Euskaltel's conference call. The management of Euskaltel will run you through the presentation, which will be followed by a question and answer session. You can ask a question by phone by pressing zero and one on your telephone keypad. I am now pleased to introduce Mr. Francisco Arteche, CEO of Euskaltel. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, morning for those in the U.S. I am Francisco Arteche, CEO of Euskaltel. I'm joined by Jonander de las Fuentes, our CFO, and together we're going to walk you through the Q3 results of Euskaltel. Let me start by saying that I'm very pleased to be with you today for my first quarterly results presentation. This time, I hope, at a more convenient time for our investors in the U.S. I'm going to start by giving you an update on how we are doing relative to our midterm guidance at IPO, which was later updated at the time of the acquisition of R-Cable. The reason why I want to do this is because having spent now a few months with the company, I want to make it clear that as a new CEO of Euskaltel, I remain committed to the core pillars of our strategy: bundling and mobility to drive consumer lifetime value, and growth and efficiency to drive financial performance, as well as to our stated financial and operational objectives. In addition, I would also like to cover the key highlights of the quarter before handing it over to Jonander, for him to walk you through the quarterly results. Finally, I have already had the pleasure to meet many of you and to discuss this in person, but for those that I haven't, before we move on, let me tell you a few key things about my mandate as CEO of Euskaltel. As you know, I joined Euskaltel as its chief executive and a member of the board of directors of the company, and in this capacity, I want to leave with you the key messages of my mandate from the board as I understand it. Firstly, to define and implement the strategy of the company with an overriding focus on shareholder value maximization. Secondly, to ensure a strong commitment to best corporate governance practices. And also, to improve dialogue and communication with all shareholders, being the voice of the minorities at the board, and ensuring your input is properly taken into consideration in the key strategic decisions of the company. So if we move to the next phase, as I said, I'd like to spend a couple of minutes refreshing you on the strategic pillars announced at IPO, and how we are progressing in the accomplishment of our main operating objectives. I believe that a strategy focused on customer lifetime value through bundling and mobility, and efficient cost and investment policies, is the best way to drive superior financial results. Also, we need to be smart in our commercial strategy and churn management in order to deliver sustainable net consumer growth. Going on into the specific details of the slide. Regarding customer lifetime value, driven by bundling and mobility, our high-value bundles now represent 65% of our consumer base, delivering a sustained ARPU growth. On mobility, already more than 75% of our customer base has a mobile product. This means we have already practically achieved three out of four of our midterm goals at IPO, with more effort needed on 3P and 4P penetration. As for customer and service growth, the second pillar, we have been able to deliver a solid growth, particularly in mobile and TV. On our third pillar, efficiency, we see strong results achieved to date, even taking into account the acquisition of R-Cable, which had lower profitability and cash conversion metrics. Our combined EBITDA margin reached 48.6% in the quarter, and we are on track to our aspirational target of 50%. Also, our combined cash conversion stood at 69%, which is one of the highest in the sector, thanks to our high operational profitability and a disciplined CapEx policy. Let's now shift to slide three and talk about the key highlights and facts of the quarter. Firstly, on the market side, there are two trends that define the period. The first one is the aggressive commercial offering by competitors, trying to monetize their investment in football content. Now on this one, I'd like to reiterate that we think that the current aggressive offering our competitors have embarked on is hardly sustainable and can lead to consumers overpaying for content they might not want or not need. And then the second trend is the continuation of the market consolidation with the acquisitions of Yoigo and Pepephone by MassMobil. If we move on to point two, you can go through the metrics, but it's worth reminding that despite almost doubling our size, we are able to maintain our superior profitability and cash flow metrics. Let me highlight the 48.7% EBITDA margin and the 67.8% cash flow conversion rate accumulated for the 9 months of the year. If we look at the KPIs for the quarter, I think it's very important that we're back to growth in net subscribers. And that's on the back of a strong gross additions. And this, as I said, in a very competitive market environment. Our TV intake remains very solid with around 20,000 new services. And as I mentioned before, mobile penetration is at a record high of 76%. Residential ARPU grows 2.8 euros year on year on the back of continued upselling. 3P and 4P bundles represent now 65% in this quarter when they represented 62.1% last year. And finally, the contained churn rate at 14.9% year to date, again, despite the challenging competitive environment. If we move to slide four and we talk about the cost management and synergies, we reach a gross margin of 75.3% thanks to direct costs contained by, firstly, the migration of our cable mobile customers into our new host. Secondly, the negotiation of key content agreements, and thirdly, the elimination of handset subsidies. On the new host, we're happy to report that close to two-thirds of our cable customers have successfully been migrated to the new service with minimal incidences. Regarding indirect costs, further upsides have been identified on commercial and related costs. Given all the initiatives in place, we're very happy to share with you that we're revisiting the initial synergy targets up by 15% in 2017. With all this, year-to-date EBITDA margin reached 48.7%. On the fifth item, the strong cash flow conversion and deleverage. You can see the strong cash flow conversion metrics, which allow us to continue to reduce the leverage, which is expected to be below 4.3 times EBITDA, including fully phased synergies by the end of the year. And lastly, some other important achievements would be the refinancing of the 300 million institutional tranche, reducing its financial cost by 21%, the alliance with Telxius to reinforce Euskaltel's 4G network deployment and coverage, and obviously, the announcement of our first dividend, as it will be explained later in the presentation. Now, let me hand it over to Jonander to present to you our quarterly results in detail, and I will join you again for some closing remarks.
Thank you, Patxi, for your opening remarks, and now let's dive into the operational and financial figures. On page 5, let me quickly summarize our reported consolidated results for the 9 months compared with those of last year. Our total revenue grew by 76.1% in the first 9 months, up to 430 million euros. Our EBITDA reached 210 million euros, and our margin has reached 48.7%, representing an increase of 100 basic points over previous year. Our operating cash flow stood at 142 million euros, resulting in a conversion rate of 67.8%. Net income amounted to almost 45 million euros, representing an increase of over 48 million versus the same period of the previous year, which was impacted by extraordinary costs from the IPO. And finally, you will see pro forma comparison of these results on the next pages. On page 6, we present the split of revenue and EBITDA growth on a comparable basis. The chart on the left illustrates revenue performance for the last year, which has been mainly supported by the strong growth in the residential segment, more than 4.4%, on the back of increased number of RGUs, close 74,000 new services, and ARPU improvement of more than 2.5 euros, equivalent to 4.5% growth versus last year. Secondly, the business segment has contributed negatively with a 1.6 annual decrease. Additionally, the 6.7 million euros reduction in other and adjustments mainly reflects the elimination of profit-neutral activities from the income statement. Similarly, the chart on the right shows the EBITDA performance on a comparable basis. The revenue growth has contributed 2.7 million euros of EBITDA growth. Our focus on direct costs has contributed 11 million euros to EBITDA with a reduction of 9.7%, driven by savings in interconnection costs, optimization of handset purchases, disciplined content strategy, as well as the elimination of profit-neutral purchases. Conversely, the increase in commercial and fixed costs have impacted negatively our EBITDA in 2.7 million. As a result of this, the comparable EBITDA grew by close 11 million euros, representing a substantial increase of 5.7%, and the comparable EBITDA margin grew from 46.3% to 48.7%. Let's focus now on the evolution of our subscriber base by showing you a quarterly evolution since 2014. We are happy to see positive net additions in the quarter, close to 606 subscribers, backed by gross adds, more than 20,000, evidence of our commercial management, which has levered mainly on mobility and TV functionality. Approximately 75% last 12 months gross adds take triple and quadruple bundles. And our churn remains controlled, close to 16% in the last quarter, is slightly impacted by the increased competition. However, we clearly see an opportunity for further reduction through an improved customer care and retention strategy. On slide 8, we show how our performance in the quarter compared to last year. On the left, we show that the last year we suffered the effect of losing football content in third quarter 2015, losing 3,200 fixed customers. However, we have been able to reverse this tendency in this quarter, as you can see on the right, with a net addition of almost 600 fixed customers. So we can conclude that despite the aggressive competition in football, we have managed to deliver net growth customers in the quarter thanks to our efficient commercial strategy. Now, turning on to slide 9, we show the KPIs of our residential business. You will see that our mobility and bundling strategy is driving our ARPU growth. Our revenue grew by 1.5% in the quarter. You will see at the bottom that our mobility strategy resulted in more than 74,000 new mobile lines, equivalent to 11% in the year. As of today, 76% of our fixed customers have at least one mobile phone with Euskaltel. On the right, you will see that Euskaltel's bundling strategy continues to deliver sustained growth in RGUs per subscriber, reaching 3.4 RGUs per subscriber and triple and quadruple play penetration of 65.2%. Finally, as a consequence of all of this, Firstly, increasing mobile penetration and bundling strategy. Secondly, upselling linked to an improved value offered to our customers. And thirdly, and favored by market conditions. The result is the ARPU has grown to 58.5 euros in the third quarter 2016, implying more than 2.5 euros or equivalent to 4.5% growth versus previous year. Let me move on to page 10 to zoom a bit on the performance of our TV business. We continue experiencing a strong performance in the number of TV RGUs, which increased by almost 24,500 in the year, equivalent to 10%. The growth in TV RGUs during the period is leading TV penetration to increase to 55% in third quarter 2016. Our strategy, based on high-value TV functionalities and premium content, including series and premieres, continue driving customer intake and satisfaction. We believe we have a very attractive TV offering, and our approach to content investment will always be smart, disciplined, sustainable, and focused on customer value.
Okay, so let me take over from Jonander just for a second to reinforce, if you move to slide 11, an initial message on the business segment. I wanted to say clearly that I do think there's an opportunity to improve, and we've got an opportunity to do better on enterprise, especially large enterprise accounts and public sector. We are already working with the teams on how to transform our enterprise segment into a fully integrated value-added offering. We need to move, and we're working on moving already beyond voice and data connectivity into cloud security, added value services, offering solutions like software as a service or platform as a service through our own development, but also establishing the right partnerships and alliances. So maybe, Jonander, you can comment on SOHO.
Okay, thank you, Pachi. On page 12, zooming in into SOHO. Have seen a strong performance in line with residential, increasing like-for-like annual revenue by 2.5%. Our commercial strategy focus on bundling products is delivering results, and we see a strong momentum both in customer growth and ARPU growth. And you will see in the slide the rest of KPIs. Moving on into SMEs and large accounts on slide 13. This is an area in which we want to focus our efforts because we see a potential opportunity in the market. The business segment has declined by 5% versus last year, implying a revenue decrease of close to 4 million euros. As you already know, revenue performance has been affected by one-off items in the period totaling around 3 million euros. The loss of bus government contract impacting revenue since April 2016, and some one-off income received from Pontevedra and A Coruña town halls in the first half of 2015. Our midterm strategy will aim to create a fully integrated value-added services offering, changing the way we interact with our enterprise customers and incorporating our own developments and developing partnerships. Let's focus now on synergies on page 14. First of all, confirm that the integration plan is on track and we are delivering results according to our internal timetable and targets. We estimate we will achieve around 10 million euro synergies by the end of the year, with 72% of synergies being at EBITDA level and the remaining 28% at CAPEX level. More importantly, we can confidently say that our initial target have been revised upwards by 15%, reaching around 23 million euros annual synergies from 2017 onwards. Moving on the key areas of savings, firstly on direct cost, the migration of AirCable mobile customers into new host, almost two-thirds achieved. The negotiation of key content agreement already executed, or the elimination of handset subsidies in AirCable. Secondly, on indirect cost, further upsides identified on commercial and related costs. And finally, on CAPEX, air cable CAPEX efficiency programs underway. Turning to page 15, the chart on the left illustrates the evolution of our cost structure, which has been reduced by approximately 8.8 million euros, equivalent to 3.8% versus last year. On the one hand, direct costs decreased by 11 million euros, equivalent to 9.4%, despite the growth in data traffic and mobile lines, which has been compensated by savings in interconnection prices, handset subsidies, and improved purchase management. Also benefited by the deduction of profit-neutral activities. On the other hand, commercial and overhead grew around 2 million euros, equivalent to 1.7%. As a result of this, year-to-date gross margin rose up to 75.3% versus 72.6% in the previous period, and year-to-date EBITDA increased over 11 million euros, equivalent to 5.7% versus previous year, reaching a margin of 48.7%. Moving on to page 16, the chart on the left illustrates the CAPEX evolution. Overall, total CAPEX as percentage of revenue stood at around 15% in the quarter, with a significant reduction in air cable. This number is in line with our 15-17% range recurring CAPEX guidance, aiming to get up to 15% at the end of the integration of air cable. The chart on the right shows the evolution of the operating cash flow, which has strongly performed in both companies. The conversion rate stood at 79% for Euskaltel standalone and 62% versus 58% in third quarter 2015 for air cable standalone. On a consolidated basis, operating cash flow for year-to-date stood at close 142 million euros, representing a conversion of 67.8%. Turning to page 17, you can see that the leverage is already below 4.5 times, reaching 4.4 EBITDA last 12 months, including synergies. As mentioned before, we generated an operating cash flow of 142 million euros in the first 9 months of the year, and the cash flow generation of the quarter has been affected by both business seasonality and one-off elements. Like, the cash flow of the year is affected by some extraordinary elements of around 16 million euros related to the acquisition of air cable and the payment of financial interest amount to 30 million euros in line with estimates. The effect of the reduction of the cost of the institutional tranche will start to be reflected in the following quarters. Overall, we are confident to generate over 120 million euros of cash by the end of the year, which will result in the leverage ratio standing below 4.3 times. Finally, and very importantly, we have announced an interim dividend of 15 cents in February 2017 on the back of full year 2016 net income. Total dividend will be communicated upon approval by the General Shareholders Meeting on the 2016 accounts in the first half of 2017, and will be in accordance to the dividend policy announced to the market. And let me now turn the presentation over to the CEO for some concluding comments.
Thank you, Yonander. So let me conclude with the following remarks. As I said at the beginning, I'm thankful to the shareholders and excited about the opportunity to join Euskaltel as the CEO. I want to reinforce my strong commitment with the strategy announced to the market that you're all well aware of. This strategy has delivered positive results in the past, and again in this third quarter of 2016, and I believe that we are on the right track. In this context, I'm also working with the team on new areas on which we need to focus to drive future growth and value creation to our shareholders, including, amongst others, large account and public administration clients, churn reduction, content related to OTT games cloud services, mobility with a complete migration of host, 4G coverage and Wi-Fi, taking advantage of the opportunities that the digital transformation offers to change the way our team works, adapt the product offering to new functionalities, change the way we interact with our customers, and incorporate new efficiency tools to our process. I have heard from you and made it my priority to make communication with our investors at the backbone of our decision making. And I also want to be your voice at the board of directors when defining the strategy of the company. Lastly, you have seen that we are proud to announce our first dividend as a listed company as an evidence of our strong cash flow generation and our commitment to remunerate shareholders. Now, for the purpose of today's presentation, I'm very happy to take your questions. Please go ahead with the Q&A question.
Ladies and gentlemen, the question and answer session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad. The first question is from Noon Matthias from Ayton Bank. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. I have two. The first is on some speculation regarding Telecable. Trying just to wonder if you are considering looking at this asset once again. I remember that in the past you mentioned that in order for you to do some additional M&A, perhaps two conditions would have to be met. First, the deleveraging, and the second, to show that you could deliver on the synergies from the Arcable transaction. With both of those two criteria at least well in place, is this something that you could once again take a look at? The second question is just on the Q4 EBITDA performance. You mentioned that two-thirds of Arcable mobile customers have been migrated into the new host. You also mentioned in the past that the savings from that would be more significant from Q4 onwards. So should we expect the Q4 EBITDA to represent some upside versus what we have been seeing so far in the year? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Nuno. So let me take the first question and maybe Jonander will take the second. So regarding Telecable, you know that we are always open and will remain open to analyze any value creation opportunities that add value to our shareholders, always in a disciplined manner and depending on the market conditions. Now, in this context, it looks like the acquisition of Telecable is an option that could be interesting to explore. At the same time, I can confirm that there are no conversations happening right now, but of course, we will analyze it in due course should the opportunity arise.
Related to the next quarter and in relation with the migration of the mobile customers in Galicia, it's true that we have a complete two-thirds of this migration. Obviously, the last ones are more difficult to migrate, but it's true that we expect to close the year migrating very close to 95% of the customers. We are going to see some savings on that, but it's true that we are now suffering an increase in data consumption, and probably is not going to be very clear this positive performance in the fourth quarter. The real impact in the migration on the host and all the savings are going to be fully impacted in 2017.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
The next question is from Giorgio Lerodiacono from Citi. Sir, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking the questions. I have two, both on recent agreements or possible agreements. So there was some, it was an article yesterday saying that you are in discussions with Orange over a joint fiber build. I'd be interested to hear, and I know you may not be able to give all the details, but the logic and scope of perhaps such an agreement. And my second question is on the mobile deployment and the agreement that you had with Telxius. My understanding from data you provided before, you expected a very high IRR as part of this 100 tower rollout. So my question to you is, and obviously with Telxius being a partner here, whether there is scope to go way beyond that, given the returns are so attractive, and whether it's something you are already analyzing. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Georgios. So regarding the first question regarding the statements that were made by Orange, Orange is a very important partner for us. It's our host provider, so it's a key partner. Now, beyond that, we do not have any agreement at this point with Orange for the deployment of network or any kind of collaboration agreement. On top of that, I would say that we're not discussing the possibility to collaborate on the deployment of fiber network in our core geographies, like Galicia and the Basque region. But at the same time, we're always open to alliances and partnerships that can add the value to our shareholders. I think Telxius, that I'll comment on a moment, is an example of that. So that means that further collaboration projects could be analyzed in the future if they add value to the shareholders, if they contribute to the development of our strategy that is focusing on customer lifetime value, efficient OPEX and CAPEX, and converging in as we incorporate our to the 15% CAPEX target. So potentially we could be looking at future agreements, but there is no commitment or no agreement at this point. And then regarding Telxius, I think it's, as I said in the past, it's a very interesting agreement that is going to give us the ability to reach some of the best placements with a very interesting opportunity in terms of cost, profitability, and IRR. To be very open, we are in the process of evaluating the results of the first 25 to 30 own deployment that is already running. We're seeing some positive news in terms of the percentage that can go through these towers and the IRR, but it's still a bit early to say whether that is going to make us go faster than the 100 that we mentioned. And just something I would also say is that in the event that we go faster, we would be sticking to our commitment of these CAPEX between a 15 and a 17%.
If you don't mind just asking for clarification, you mentioned earlier the deployment or any agreement you may reach with Orange will not be in your core market. I was just wondering what type of scope would that agreement have?
Yeah, so what I said is we're not discussing that.
Okay.
So we're not discussing with them any agreement to expand in our core market. We could potentially at some point be discussing other things, or other regions, or other opportunities, but it's not part of our core priority right now to discuss the coverage in our own regions.
Thank
you. And again, just to give you a little bit more insight, this is what I call smart opportunities, which is we're not going to hit into a radical change in or even a significant change in our strategy. We will remain committed to our investment policy in terms of CAPEX of a 15 to a 17, so you can sense that these opportunities would help, but it's not, in terms of size, it's not the biggest size.
That's very clear, thanks.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Equal Detony from JP Morgan. Sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Two questions, if I may, please. Firstly, on the Basque government contract that was lost at the beginning of this year. I just wonder if you can help us understand what you've actually seen in terms of that contract change, because if we look at your financials, it doesn't seem obvious that that's had much of an impact yet. I guess initially the expectation was that there would have been an impact by the middle of this year. That doesn't seem to be the case. So just a bit of color in terms of what's happening there, when do you think that starts having a bit of impact on your numbers, and how should we think about the materiality of that? And then the second thing was, I guess a little bit related to the earlier question, is just about your footprint expansion. At the time of IPO, there was an intention to increase your footprint within your region to a certain degree, and as such, so far you haven't actually delivered on those levels. I just wondered, is that something that you're still exploring? Is that something you still see as interesting, or have you now decided to refocus your efforts elsewhere? Thanks a lot.
Okay. Well, related to the bad government contract, as we said, the expectation was to migrate 100% of the services of this contract during the first half of this year. The migration has been delayed during the year because the capacities of Telefónica to migrate the services has been lower than expected. And we have been provided basically the 100% of the services just the summer, and now we are decreasing this penetration. In that sense, we consider that the real impact of this lost is going to see on January and onwards in the next year. Related to the footprint expansion, as you remember, we started in the Basque Country 1 year ago with a specific plan to deploy 51,000 households in the Basque Country. We are on track with this project. And additionally, we are all the time looking for and analyzing additional opportunities on that. Obviously, it could be possible to make some expansion in our core regions, but it's not very, very relevant because, as you know, the coverage in the Basque Country is really high. And in Galicia, probably the financial sense of some deployment is not very clear, but we are analyzing, and at the same time we are looking for additional opportunities and alliance with other partnerships, trying to see the opportunity to look for niches of expansion out of our footprints. But it's true that now the opportunities on that have grown a lot. The capacity to make investments shared by other type of partnerships is higher than some time ago, and we are analyzing the rationale and the profitability of those opportunities in the market. But it's true that we are analyzing. We haven't closed anything on that, but we are looking for additional opportunities.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
The next question is from Ivan Lial from BBVA. Sir, please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for the questions. Maybe two questions. The first one, could you share with us what is the stage of the deployment of fiber by your competitors in both regions? And the second one relates to the mobile network deployment. I don't know if you could update us what is the number of sites you invested, whether you continue to have a mind of loading 40% of the traffic. I think that was the initial target. And if there has been any decision on whether rolling out or not mobile network in Galicia.
Sorry, Yvonne, can you repeat your first question? I haven't heard very
yeah,
well.
Yolanda, the first question is whether you can give us your estimate of what's the fiber coverage of Telefónica in Galicia and Basque region, and of the other guys, whether Orange and Vodafone are deploying?
Yeah, we know. So we know that, for example, in the last 12 months, Telefónica has been deploying and moving from a 30% coverage up to a 70% coverage, which in some terms is good news that we have been able to sustain our business given their development. We don't have as much information about the deployment of both Vodafone and Orange because it's not an information that is shared or is public.
Today you have seen in the newspapers that Vodafone was announced that they are covering now close to 500,000 households in the Basque Country. We can't confirm this data. We know that the deployment is really aggressive, and the only direct data that we have is the interest to contract with us network and carrier services, and we are seeing that this interest is being lower each year, no? And in that sense we can make some calculation on that, but we consider that they are deployed joint relevant fiber network in the Basque region. In Galicia we are trying to follow it and could be very, very similar in both regions. The most relevant on that is that we are following the portability demands that we have from one operator to the others, and really in that moment we are not very pressured on that, and we are keeping a positive portability ratios with them.
Because you say that you're losing the customers, you're losing, you say all of them are migrating to fiber, or you're also losing customers to the ADCL?
No, I think most...
Now the migration between DSL and fiber is really similar. But it's true that now we are seeing that the conversation with our charters say that most of them are now migrating to fiber. But at the same time, we are recovering most of them in midterm. And in that sense, the balance is very neutral on that. But it's true that now could be slightly higher the migration to fiber than DSL.
Yeah, and then going back to your second question, which was I understood it was about the deployment of around antennas. We have right now around 40 sites deployed, mostly in the Basque Country. The agreement announced like a minimum commitment of 100. I would say we would like to be able to deploy around 200 during 2017. Whether we go beyond that or not is something that, as I said before, we need to see and measure the profitability or the IRR in terms of this investment to consider whether we want to go further ahead and deploy more within the next fiscal year.
Okay, thanks very much.
You're welcome, thank you.
The last question is from Giovanni Montalti from UBS. Sir, please go ahead.
Hello, thank you. I appreciate you being so straightforward about focus on governance, considering, let's say, the events of the past months. I just wanted to understand if you can share with us some more color about, let's say, what you plan to do to make sure that governance is best in class. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So Basically, and I've had this discussion because we had obviously yesterday the first board of director, and in the first board of director I basically shared a lot of the feedback that I did receive from all of the investors, and this feedback talked about the concern or the wish to improve communication, the wish to have more clarity on our best governance practices. A lot of these practices, I mean, basically out of the 66 best practices recommended in Spain, I think all of them, or 65, are being met already. And I can say that there was an unanimous acceptance in terms of from the board, in terms of making sure that some of the potential concerns that were raised in the past with the period with the change in terms of the management did happen. Now, beyond that, I can also tell you that basically, if you look at both my background and my interest, I'm a member of the ICA, which is the main body in terms of ensuring the best corporate governance practices. I'm an active member. I'm taking courses, and I'm continually being updated on everything that is happening. And I'm really channeling that to the board of directors, and I'm having very good discussions with all of them. In my time at Microsoft, I was compliance champion, and I learned that areas like compliance, A, are non-negotiable, B, are part of everyday's life and everyday's work. So it's really pretty much in my DNA. So I think probably there's two elements. There's one of communication. I think the board needs to be making an additional effort so that what we're doing is seen. And also, we have to follow further the path of the best practices. These are the main things that I'm looking at.
Sorry, if I may follow up on these, do you perceive any resistance in the board from some of your main shareholders that have a strong representation in the board about potential M&A if that were to imply some dilution for their existing interest? Are your existing, let's say, reference shareholder showing any opposition to a potential dilution?
Yeah, so I can obviously not share what has been discussed in the board of directors, but from in other discussions that I've had with each of the members and what my view is, I would say absolutely not. I think even the board members that belong to Cuchabank and Corporación Financiera Alba behave as absolutely independent when they sit in the board.
Okay, so sorry, and maybe if I can, a very last question in terms of M&A. Let's say there is a new fourth integrated player that is, resulting from the most recent deals involving MassMobile. You have clearly showed interest for Telecable. This was part also of the strategy at the time of the IPO. How do you see this new player coming up, and what do you think could be your role in this process?
Yeah, if you refer to MassMobile and Yoigo, and again, what I'm sharing here is my personal view, I would say that, so this is a totally different kind of company. When you look at certain types of company like Telecable, you could easily see where the synergies sit, the kind of business, the solidity of certain elements. I think
sorry to interrupt, but there are obvious differences, no doubt about that. There are some similarities. Their main partner is Orange. You are now looking, clearly talking of some ambitions out of the Basque Country and, Galicia as well. In theory, there could be a fit today. I'm not saying that it's the same as Trey Gable, that's pretty clear.
Yeah, so today we're not in any discussions with them, and I'm not really foreseeing in the near term any discussions. I think, and my personal view here is that they will have to undergo a period of adaptation between the different companies, a period of investment, and it will take a certain time before such a position where we could be sitting and discussing happens. But again, that's probably my personal view on the topic. I would say maybe in a year's time or in a year and a half, it's a good time once we see how things shape for them.
Okay, thanks so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.